Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back and welcome to Sunday. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I hope this podcast encourages you. Today, I decided I'd go back into the archives to 2014 and explore a topic that I noticed a long time ago, and it's become part of the subject of the Living School that I'm a part of with Richard Rohr, and it's about the cosmic Christ. Now, don't tune out if you're not someone who describes yourself as a religious person. This is something that's important to all of us because it really creates a unique distinction that is helpful, and I think it creates access to a lot of people to make sense of things. What am I talking about? Well, if you're not familiar with the story of Lazarus in the Old Testament, that's what this is about. Today's title is called Lazarus, Historical Jesus or Cosmic Christ. And I put that together as though they're two different things because they're essentially different. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're not familiar with the story of Lazarus, you can find it in John chapter 11. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus who had died. Now, Jesus shows up at Lazarus' tomb a few days after he's already been buried. And, of course, all the mourners are there along with Mary, which is Lazarus' sister, and many of Jesus' friends and his disciples. And the short version of the story is that Jesus weeps for a moment and then reminds people that he is the resurrection and the life. And even though we die, if we believe, we will live again. And then he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus comes out wearing grave clothes. Now, my point is not to exegete the story. My focus today is really to demonstrate that this story helps us see two common assertions that emerge from the story. Now, the first assertion is the historical aspect, which details how Jesus' disciples would have believed and how it would have impacted them. And I think the historical assertion is where most Bible believers, most Christians, most pastors teach what most of modern Christian world is all about. What they're doing is they're working to put us in our modern world back into the story by way of leveraging the story as an imperative or a directive for how modern people should live. And it kind of goes like this. They really come up with a lot of historical information about the place, the time, the realities that place, and it helps us understand a little bit more about the historical realities in which this story took place. And it's all designed to make it more believable, more credible, more provable. And if it's provable, then it should be believable. And if it's believable, then we can then take the historical story and apply it to our present lives. And then that's the rest of the teaching. And that's usually how this is done. The idea is that if we can make our belief system like those in the past, then our experience will be more orthodox or more aligned with right belief. In other words, all these years we've kind of got distorted and we've kind of lost our way, and we need to go back to the historical way of doing it, the way they would have done it in the past. Now, I understand this. I get why they do it, but we have to recognize that this is regressive. And again, they create imperatives from the teaching. In other words, well, if this is how they did it back then this is how we should do it today. Now, this approach creates tension. And it does so because when you look at the historical belief, you find that it's in tension with the future resurrection. In other words, by focusing almost exclusively on a narrow point in history, many Christians miss the wider assertion and thus miss its implications for living. Proving a historical accuracy or proving a historical accurate event is really the only means to resolve the tension, and thus you see why the problem exists. Most pastors focus on trying to make it historically provable. And if it's more historically provable, they're really just applying the scientific worldview to their Christian faith. So what's the other assertion? Well, the second assertion is that of the cosmic aspect of Christ. You see, in this miraculous story of a person being raised from the dead, the power of Christ works through Jesus, the man of history. This teaching is indicative rather than imperative, and that's a vital switch. In other words, it's describing a reality rather than prescribing a way to live. For example, what does it mean for us to rise up and come forth? Now, just look around you and notice all those people whose lives have emerged from a state of brokenness or suffering or from loss. Everywhere we look, on every continent, in every people group, in every religion, in every race, in every social class, in every strata of life, we see story after story of people who have risen out of their adversity. In other words, what should have been a grave or a form of death actually became the birthplace of life, and all of whom are having a Christ experience in the cosmic sense, even if they do not define or even understand or even know about the historical sense. And so this is amazing, because the cosmic assertion then means we don't have to wait until one day to rise up and resurrect. Resurrection does not have to exclusively focus on what happens after we die. It actually frees us up to live now. It calls all of us out of a deep slumber, and it wakes us up to really live despite the worst of our circumstances. It gives us a new disposition, yes, a new life within the midst of our life that we already have. So resurrection is really about the life you have and not about the loss of the life you have and what might come after. You see, this wide-angle lens allows many modern people access to the resurrection language, because it can be seen within our lives that we're living, and it doesn't constrain us to only see resurrection as a post-death event that remains unproven in many modern scientific minds. You see, these two assertions use the Bible in very different ways, and both are acceptable. You can be an imperative or an indicative here. That's fine. But one is very narrow and one is very wide. And you can see that churches who use the narrow are probably those same churches that struggle to get people in the doors. They struggle to connect with the culture and become those who war against the culture and warn people against the culture. Instead of transforming the culture, they just live in fear of it. The historical assertion ultimately truncates access to Jesus by requiring a historical experience to be imported into ours. And if you have somebody who's skeptical, then they're not really going to do it. So the cosmic assertion then allows us to see Jesus in a new way. It's a new way of retelling the same story. So instead of having to prove that the old story is true, we simply have to use the old story, whether true or not, as a means to show us how it can be told within our very lives. It allows us to see the cosmic story being played out today in our lives, which makes it very real and very immediate. The cosmic story then is how I have come to recognize that even though a person can struggle with or even deny the idea of historical Jesus, they can still very much believe and experience the power of the cosmic Christ. This profoundly widens the view of those who are part of his church, and it makes the story very inclusive to all comers. This should help kind of explain why I come at this stuff the way I do. In the end, none of us alive today really have anything but a cosmic belief in Jesus or Christ. Yeah, we may say we have a belief in the historical Jesus, and that's maybe great, and it's probably very true, but you don't have that as an experience. None of us experienced the historical Jesus. He lived over 2,000 years ago. The only experience any of us have has been a cosmic one. So if we're to really be honest, it's the power of the cosmic Christ. It's the second assertion here that ever has really touched any of us. And this should allow us a ton of grace towards others and hopefully allow us to see the cosmic work in ways that may ordinarily be diminished or even denied by the church and some of the followers. You see, Lazarus and his resurrection, it's all around us. The power that raised him up is raising others up all around us. We are all called out of our tombs into a bright world where we can shed our grave clothes and really live. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.